our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. First Epistle of John chapter 2 and verse 1. Being an advocate of believers is another aspect of our Lord's high priestly ministry in heaven. Now shall we notice first the meaning of advocate? The Greek word is paraclete. It means one who comes alongside to plead on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is the advocate of the Lord Jesus. That is, He presents the Lord's claims to us. He interprets the excellencies of the Lord to our hearts. He is in charge of all matters concerning the Lord's church. And just as the Holy Spirit is the advocate of Christ to us, so the Lord Jesus is our advocate before the Father in heaven. He is the pleader on our behalf for God's favor, the supporter of our case, the advocate of our defense, our friend at all times. This ministry is part of his function as high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Since our Lord lives by the power of an endless life, at no point of time through the ages of eternity can this ministry for us ever fail. His is an eternal advocacy. The devil always has accusations against us. He no doubt speaks the truth about us when he accuses us before God, though he speaks lies when he speaks about God to us. But when we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our Lord pleads not our innocence or righteousness, which we do not possess, but his own sacrifice on our behalf, having for our benefit met all the demands of law. The law can no longer point its accusing finger, and his having absorbed in his own body the punishment due to us, Satan also is silent and rebuked, having no ground for accusation. Such is the meaning of our Lord being our advocate. Now, secondly, notice the ministry involved in this advocacy. He appears before God on our behalf in the text. That is, not viewing us as sinners, but as believers. His appearance is before the Father on behalf of his own dear children. It's a family affair. Our fellowship is with the Father, as we see in chapter 1 and verse 3 of this epistle. We have access to the Father. We live in his holy presence without fear. Now John reminds us it is possible for the children of God to sin, as in any human family, when we grieve our Father in heaven, we are made very much aware of it by the Holy Spirit. As in a human family, children often bring disgrace and dishonor to their father's house and to his good name. We are made very conscious of that when we bring dishonor to our Heavenly Father's house and to his good name. And we are made very conscious of it by the indwelling Spirit of God. And what if we do sin? Does the Father now disregard us and disown us? No, never. We have an advocate with the Father. He who was once the propitiation for our sins and the divine substitute to bear the punishment of them is now our advocate in heaven above, before the Father's face. The believer comes to his Father as an erring child. He does not have to go back and have another new birth and another repentance for sins committed in order to become a child of God again. He may have come a long way in his heavenward way when he stumbles, and the former ground and progress is not lost. Listen, if any man sins, as the idea of an accident, it is not that a believer lives in willful and continuous sin. He has been caught off guard, and now through the Lord's intercession on the ground of his sacrifice, sin is cleansed and the believer restored to fellowship with the Father. Our Lord is presented here, not as the Savior of sinners, but as an advocate of the Father's own dear children. Then again, look at the method of his plea. He presents himself on our behalf, not with his divine titles such as the Eternal Word and or the Everlasting Son, but with those names associated with his human nature. Jesus, that name so precious to sinners. Christ, the sent or the anointed one. The Father's prophet, priest and king. The righteous, the only one who can stand before the Father with a perfect sinless life lived here on earth. No earthly priest can do that, because he himself is faulty. The Lord did not save us by his righteous life, but by his substitutionary sacrifice on our behalf. But because of his righteous life, he is qualified to be our advocate. We would not want an advocate who had committed the same sins as we ourselves. He does not overlook any one sin, but his experience in every human circumstance of testing in which he felt the force of temptation has made him a sympathetic and understanding advocate. The presentation of his blood is not a continuous sacrifice. That is, he is not crucified again and again. But there is an eternal efficacy in his one sacrifice. And thus, it avails forever. His is an eternal and ever-prevailing advocacy. And we may well thank God for that. Now hear the words of some unknown writer. Our heavenly height, on heavenly height, an angel stands. He takes our prayer in heavenly hands, and with celestial incense rare, he mingles every heartfelt prayer of those who trust his precious blood to reconcile their souls to God. Then from that glorious heavenly place descend the lightnings of his grace to heal, to strengthen, and provide for those who trust in him who died, who died, I say, yea, he who rose, triumphant, conqueror of his foes. Who is that priestly angel bright, who thus dispels the darkest night? 'Tis he who sets the captive free, Jesus, who died on Calvary's tree, who is, who was, and is to come, the glory of his Father's home. How lovely. How true. Amen. And amen.